You would please, Mark chapter number 8. It's through His suffering that I'm free. But if He didn't suffer, I wouldn't be able to be made free. Mark chapter 8, we're going to begin reading in verse number 27 here. Mark 8, 27. And Jesus went out and His disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way, He asked His disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, some say Elias, others one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answered and saith unto Him, Thou art the Christ. And He charged them that they should tell no man of Him. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And He spake that saying openly. And Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him. But when He had turned about and looked on His disciples, He rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. When He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He saith unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless the preaching. Pastor Chad, would you pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts, please? Amen. Now, one thing is for sure this morning, in this lifetime, every one of us in this room, everybody here is going to suffer. You can just bank on that, all right? Life is tough. Life is a veil of tears. Living in a sinful world is not easy. We're all going to suffer. But the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, He says that it's better for us to suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So really the way I see it and the way the Bible teaches it is you and I have a choice in what area we really want to suffer. Now let me say this real quickly. I mean, I don't want to run down this trail because this isn't the point of the message, but just to be fair and balanced, I'm not Fox News, but to be fair and balanced biblically, there are some things that just happen in life. You get that? It's just, you know, it rains on the just and on the unjust. And so a lot of times things that happen to us that are painful are just part of being alive. It's not God's judgment on you. It's not the devil trying to get you. It's just life. And that's a reality that we all have to deal with. But there's a lot of suffering in this life that comes not just because we happen to be alive. There's a lot of suffering that comes in this life because of the mistakes that we make. Because of the decisions that we make. And every one of us in this room is going to make some decisions throughout your life. And once you make a decision and act on that decision, you reap the reward or the suffering based on the decision that you made. We live in a generation that loves to point the finger and blame everybody else. But the fact of the matter tonight, this morning, whatever it is, I don't know if you just woke up or if you're ready to go to sleep on me, but either way, the fact of the matter is that you and I are responsible for our own actions. And the way my life turns out is not something I ought to blame on my mom and dad. It's not something I blame on the circumstances that happened to me. The way my life turns out is up to me, and I am responsible before God to make some good decisions and to make sure that, you know, that what I do pleases God or doesn't. That's up to me. You're going to suffer. Mark it down. The Bible shows us actually three different ways, really, if you wanted to simplify it all and boil it down to its root cause. There's three different ways people suffer. First of all, you'll suffer for the things of this world. And boy, we got an entire generation of Americans that suffer for that. What is the deal? They love this life. They love the things that they can gain in the world. You know, the bigger, better house, keeping up with the Joneses, a nicer car, a better income. You know, all the things of the world that attract us. Popularity, fame, whatever that might be. Have you ever noticed how miserable people who get fame actually become? They're just the most dysfunctional bunch of morons sometimes. This Justin Bieber or whatever his name is. You see a clip there about, I seen a CNN clip on my CNN app, you know, how he was egging his neighbor's house or something like that. I mean, like, really? That kid's filthy rich. He's got everything the world has to offer and he's stinking absolutely miserable. You know why? Because the things of this world will cause you to suffer. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 12 says, "The abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep." Hey, those of us who don't have a lot to lose, we're like, hey, whatever happens to the economy happens. I mean, you know, so what? A guy who's got a whole lot, he's worked and sacrificed his life. He sacrificed time with his wife, time with his children. He sacrificed everything, his whole soul. He poured into getting things of this world. That man can't sleep because of the pressure and the stress on him. You're going to suffer if you love the world, I promise you. If you love the things that are in the world, it'll bring suffering. There's something else that'll cause suffering. And this one gets most everybody. The things of the flesh. The things of the flesh. If you learn to love the things of the flesh, you're going to suffer. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin. That's what God said. God said it. There is pleasure in sin. You know why so many people sin? Because it's fun. I've never told you any different. It's a riot. But the problem is, it says for a season. The Bible says, "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." You know how many people suffer today because they just kind of sowed to their flesh and just wanted to do everything the flesh wanted. So, you know, I'm just going to have a little bit of fun and I know this is wrong and eventually I'll stop and I can control it. You know, one's too many and a million's not enough. And they find out once they go down that road a little bit that the flesh doesn't satisfy. I don't care what it is. I mean, it could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be immorality. It could be pornography. It could be any list of things. There's all kinds of things that the flesh loves. Hey, let me really step on some toes now if I haven't already offended you. I will with this one. It could be laziness. All this, you know, equality and income. You want equality and income? Go bust your hind end and do your best. Amen. Amen. I'm not trying to be crude. I'm just sick of this stuff. And the problem is this kind of thinking is seeping into the minds of Christian people who are supposed to believe the Bible. The things of the flesh, folks, won't satisfy. Amen. They'll cause you to suffer. But there's another reason we can suffer tonight. This morning, whatever it is. I don't know where I'm at, but I know what text I'm in, so that's all that matters. Amen. There's another reason you and I can suffer. And this one's up to you. You can suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Now that's one I think I'm willing to suffer for. Because that one's pretty honest and upfront with us.
The name of Jesus Christ, when He writes the Bible and He tells us what He wants us to suffer for, what He wants us to do for Him, He is honest and upfront with us. What He doesn't always show to its fullest is the benefit. He doesn't always show the fullness of the reward. He promises us a reward and He says, wait a minute, this reward I'm going to give you is so great, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has entered into your heart the things I've prepared for them that love me. So since it's so great, I can't explain it to you, I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm going to ask you to suffer for me because you love me and no other reason. But that's one most people don't want to suffer for. I mean, they'll go out and they'll commit adultery. And if it catches up with them, you know, hey, it catches up with them. We were miserable anyways. You know, things were bad at home and she's been treating me so bad. And it isn't like it used to be, you know. When she was dating me, she was different and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he's just really such a jerk. And, you know, they'll suffer for the things of the flesh. They'll suffer for the things of the world. But most people won't sign up to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in 2 Timothy 2:12, he says if we suffer, we're going to reign with Him. In 1 Peter 3:14, he says if we suffer, happy are ye. In 1 Peter 5:10, he tells us that the suffering will make us perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. So all the suffering for Jesus Christ actually works out for our benefit. You realize people that are getting in trouble because of DUIs and drug addictions and violence, and divorce over, you know, immorality, and the other things that come with that, the health problems and whatnot that come with that. You realize those people suffer in misery? He said, if you suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, happy are you. How messed up. But you and I don't want to suffer for the Lord. We'll be willing to suffer for all kinds of things, but not Jesus Christ. Well, let's look this morning and see if we're willing to suffer for the Lord. I mean, how is it that you and I can suffer for the name of Jesus Christ? Let's look at some things in the text. Starting in verse number 27, Jesus went out to His disciples into the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, He asked His disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? The first way you and I can learn to suffer for Jesus Christ is by standing up for Him against the world's opinions of Him. Look at their response. He says, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. You know what I noticed about that thing? None of the responses the disciples had been getting were that, you know, there is no such thing as Jesus Christ and He's a nobody. You realize nobody had that opinion? Nobody said, who is Jesus? I mean, we don't know who He is. They all knew who He was. The problem was they didn't like who He was. You see, the issue was that, hey, we know who this Jesus is, but we need to figure Him out and we need to put Him in a box somewhere where He's nice and safe and under control, because the Jesus who the Bible says He is actually one that's a threat to our well-being. The Jesus who the Bible says that He is a one who's a threat to my flesh. He's a threat to my agenda. He's a threat to my goal. So I want this Jesus to fit where I think He should fit. I think He's John the Baptist. Well, that was a religious response, wasn't it? Didn't the Pharisees and the scribes, didn't they say, hey, wasn't Elias first to come? Wasn't that what they said to Jesus Christ? So they said, who's Jesus? John the Baptist. John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah. If you've been around here any length of time, we've seen that thing out throughout the Bible. He said He has come first. You know what they were doing? The religious crowd, they wanted to put Jesus in their box. You know, the politicians hated John the Baptist. Wasn't it a politician that killed him? You know, you live in a world that hates the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate Him. They don't like who He is. They don't like who the Bible says He is. And so what they're trying to do is get you to stop praying in Jesus' name. Don't put Jesus Christ on Christmas. You know, it's Xmas. It's happy holidays. Do everything we can to push Jesus out of government, push Jesus out of the schools, push Jesus out of history, push Jesus out of America. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're willing to suffer for Jesus Christ, then right now today you can say, I don't care if it's popular or not. I don't care if it's politically correct or not. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and without the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not have an eternal home in heaven. There are not many ways. There's one way, and that way is narrow, and that way is straight, and Jesus Christ is the door to the way everlasting, and without Him, you ain't getting there. It'll happen if you take that stand with your friends, with your neighbors, with your family members, on your Facebook page, and in the grocery store with a gospel track, and if you feel like it on your car. I mean, we're not turning this into a scripture verse car cult, you know. Drives me nuts when you walk in and every single car has scripture verses on it. It's like, really? There's no individuals in this church at all? But hey, if God wants you to, slap some on there. Amen. I mean, whatever way you decide to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, you know what it's going to do? It's going to cause you to suffer. Just give it a little more time, folks. We're just getting started. Let some of these brainwashed young people who are just, I mean, absolutely brainwashed. They are mindless robots. They are drinking the Kool-Aid. And you'll know in a couple minutes why I'm saying all this. They're drinking the Kool-Aid, man. And they're coming out of those public schools just like that. And they haven't researched the history. They haven't read the Bible. They haven't studied the Bible in science, the Bible in English grammar, the Bible in history, the Bible in prophecy. They haven't studied any of that stuff out. But they're dead set against the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You let them start running the show and making the laws. Now, I'm not a black helicopters guy, all right? If you're a conspiracy theorist, please don't bog me down in the lobby with all that stuff. I want to say hi to Miss Smith. I don't think there's any Miss Smiths here this morning. You know, Grandma Smith, and ask her how her bunion's doing on her left foot. That'll be a lot more productive with my time than your conspiracy theories. Amen. Are you with me? But now that the precedent has been set in our government of just ignoring the Constitution and ignoring laws and doing what we want, wait until those coming up behind them are in charge. I'm just telling you where we're going. Now mark it down and just wait. You know what we got to be willing to do? We got to be willing to suffer for Jesus Christ's name. You think there's any chance at all that you're going to be willing, young men, to get into a pulpit and preach the name of Jesus Christ when the law says if you do, you could go to jail? If you won't pass out a gospel tract at the gas station because you're embarrassed? Not a chance. We don't want to suffer for that name. You notice the Muslims are even in here. You didn't see that, did you? Look at it. He says, are one of the prophets. There they are. You know who they say Jesus is? He is one of the prophets. Folks, nothing new under the sun. Things are so much worse than they ever were. Have you ever read Genesis 6? They're not that bad yet. Has Jesus Christ come back yet? Has he? No, okay. So since he hasn't come back yet, it's not as bad as it was in the days of Noah. Because he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. But we're getting there, aren't we? I mean, it's getting worse and worse and worse. You can't even hardly watch the news nowadays without it being, excuse me, sex this and sex that and some kind of sex crime here and sex crime there. It's just unbelievable. We're getting there. It's going to get worse. I'm just trying to be positive this morning, encourage you after our good revival. We're starting off year six here. This is my first message of 2014, whatever it is, year six, 2014. Forgive me on my facts this morning. The Mormons are in here. They believe in Jesus Christ, don't they? Sure they do. You know what the front of the Book of Mormon says? Another testament of Jesus Christ. You know what Galatians says? That there's not another gospel. I mean, with the same wording as is on the front of their book. Say, you hate Mormons and Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses. And no, I don't hate them, but we got to preach truth, right? You got to know what you believe and why from a Bible. So, I mean, if you're looking for political correctness, you got the wrong place. Amen. We got to be willing to suffer. There's all kinds of people that stand against it. You realize that atheists even believe in Jesus Christ. Sure they do. They won't admit it, but nail them down on it. Don't you believe that Jesus Christ was a man that walked the planet? You know what kind of a moron would have to say, no, he never existed? They believe in him. And don't you realize that he is a man that made the biggest influence on history any man has ever made? They'd have to admit that. But see, the issue is not whether or not you believe that Jesus is Jesus. The issue is, who do you say that I am? I'll tell you who he is according to the Bible. He's the Son of God. He's God manifest in the flesh. He is the Christ. Verse number 29. Peter answered and said to him, thou art the Christ. You know who Jesus is? He's the one you're going to answer to. My friends, this world hates your Savior. Look at John chapter 7, please. John chapter number 7.
Look at verse 7. I'll be honest with you, I don't think we've ever seen it in the United States of America like we're seeing it now. I don't think we've ever seen it like we're seeing it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, start passing out some gospel tracts this week. Join us, you know, we're not going to let everybody become admin, but if you did become admin on our Facebook page, Jesus Still Saves Facebook page, you'd see the violent hatred they have for the Lord. You should see some of the exchanges that go on. John chapter 7, verse 7, the world cannot hate you. Hey, relax, it's not you they hate. They can't hate you. You know why? Because you're one of them. Look, this is the point. Don't get saved. Live your life in sin and see how the world feels about you. Do you understand that? It's not you that they hate. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Turn your life around. Start living for Him and producing some fruit for Him and see what they say. It's not you they hate. Because if you just become a fornicating drunk, they'd love you. It's not you they hate. The world cannot hate you. He told you that. But me it hateth. So when you get offended because somebody insults you as a Christian, you're taking something personal. You got no business taking personal. It's not you that they hate. It's Jesus Christ. Because I testify of it. You know why they hate Him? Because He tells them the truth about themselves. Didn't He tell you the truth about yourself? Before we get all, you know, arrogant, you know, we believe in Jesus and they don't. Well, let's chill out a second and be honest. How did you like it when somebody said you're a sinner? And because of your sin, you deserve to go to hell. Somebody did tell you that, right? I mean, basically, that's what the book says. And because of your sin, you deserve to go to hell. I'm a good person. Well, I mean, that's great and everything, but you've sinned, haven't you? Preacher did a good job last week of pointing out what sin is. You know, how many of you have stolen from work? Oh, not me. Sure, you took a break because you deserved one when you were supposed to be working. We're all sinners, folks. Nobody likes that message. That the works thereof are evil. Well, who's going to like that? The world hates it, folks. They hate it. Look at John chapter 15, verse number 18. John 15, 18. Keeping your finger in Mark, we'll be right back there. John 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. He's saying the problem is me, not you. If ye were of the world would love his own. There it is. Go to the bar. Hey, man, what are you doing here? Hey, what's up? Right? But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they also will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. You know what the world hates? It hates Jesus Christ. It hates his name. You want to suffer a little bit? Stand up for the name of Jesus Christ. You ever get tired of listening to people cuss, taking Jesus Christ's name in vain? Do you get tired of that? I mean, some of you should take me up on it. You should try it. And just try it at work. Just say, Buddha. Be like, what is the matter with him? Do it. Do it happens. Muhammad. When you slam your finger. I mean, it's better than cussing. And some of you need to knock that off, you know. So I'm helping you out here. I'm giving you an escape. Oh, it's a way of escape, but you may be able to bear it. Amen. And watch what they say. You know, they'll be like, what? Well, you know, the Bible says that, you know, it's a sin to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And you guys all say Jesus Christ in a cursing way. So I figured I said, nobody says that. You know, you're right. Nobody does say that. And do you know why? Of course they don't know why. You know why? Because the Bible says the lesser shall swear by the greater. And that's why everybody takes Jesus Christ's name in vain, whether they believe in him or not. Because they're confessing with their mouth that they know who he is. In their spirit, in their conscience, they know. And they hate him. You want to suffer for Jesus Christ? Then stand for his name. You want to suffer for Jesus Christ? One other verse, John 17. Stand for his word. Stand for his word. John chapter 17. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know what this world hates, folks? They hate the Word of God. I was watching this week, and boy, I don't know what it was getting up my Irish, my Italian, I don't know, but I'm watching some of the young men in our church. I'm telling you, you guys are firing me up, man. You're getting me going again. This is a blessing. On their Facebook, just posting just things about Jesus Christ, just a Bible verse or just glorifying His name. Actually, one of them linked to a contemporary preacher and something a contemporary preacher tweeted. I mean, a preacher I would never condone. I'm not even going to name him. I would never condone the guy. I mean, you can't get any more milk toast, any sweeter. The guy tells everybody, you know, in his church, you know, if you want to drink, it's okay to drink. And I mean, it's like, who wouldn't love this guy? I mean, who wouldn't love this guy? I mean, this is a cool pastor. I mean, dude, I'm hanging out with my pastor doing a Bible study. No, we're at the bar. I mean, it'd be, who wouldn't like him, right? And somebody retweeted his post. Or reposted his tweet, or however it works. I don't know. Or texted it, or emailed it, or I mean, whatever it is. It's up there. You wouldn't believe the barrage. When I say, somebody else said thought-provoking. Two of the young men in our church, one guy posted it, the other guy commented thought-provoking. And then some guy just went on that. I don't know that. If he walked in here right now, I would have no idea who he was. But if he did, and I did know, I would still go at this. Amen. And tell him, thank you for coming. We'll love to see you back next week. You wouldn't believe the way these guys got attacked. I mean, vulgar, just boom in his face, just vulgar. Just you people blankety blank you and you blankety blank mindless drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, just went off on a couple of young men in our church. And you know what I appreciate? I appreciate this. You know what they did? Nothing. You should see their responses. It was just wonderful. I was sitting there just laughing and praising the Lord. I mean, I'm enjoying it from afar. They got no idea preachers spying on them. That's the only reason I have a Facebook page is to spy. Amen. I got to get illustrations for Sunday. Amen. The Holy Spirit leads me. I'm so glad you folks know me now. And for those of you that don't know me, we got quite a few visitors this morning. They're laughing for a reason. Amen. But here's the deal. I'm watching and I'm praising God, man. I'm like, whew, what a blessing. And they're just violently going after him. You know what? Finally, after 40-something responses, you know what finally the guy said? First of all, I think he's a backslidden, born-again Christian. Hating the Bible, hating the name of Jesus Christ, making fun of everything that Jesus Christ and the Bible stands for with a vehement and violent hatred. Perverse. You know what finally he said? He said, the one thing I appreciate about you guys is that you have some class. Now, folks, that's standing up for the name of Jesus Christ. You know what he was doing? He was trying to bait them. He was trying to pull them in. He was trying to get them to overstep. He's trying to get them to cuss back. He's trying to get them to become hateful and violent. And when they just kept saying, we care about your soul, we love you, the Bible says, God said, your problem is your sin. And they just kept boldly and calmly and clearly laying out the truth back in his face. He finally said, I appreciate one thing about you guys. I appreciate the fact that you had some class. Not like other people that believe the way you did. Praise the Lord and God bless you, man. Keep it up, fellas. I mean, go get them. We got your back. Go get them. Amen. But have some class. I like that. And they're getting invites to the church and even invited them to come sit down and talk to me. And I said, praise the Lord. I hope they take him up on it. Folks, they hate the name of Jesus Christ. So you know what you and I ought to do? Be willing to suffer for that name. Be willing to suffer. And if you just cow down and hide and run and get all chicken and all worried about what they think of you and what they're going to say about you and back off and quiet down because you don't want to look like a weirdo and a religious nut. You don't want to be accused of being in a cult. Do you know how many times I've been accused of being a cultist? If I had a quarter for every time, I'd have me a retirement. Amen. Hey, you know what? They don't even know what a cult. Give me a definition of a cult. A good, solid definition of a cult. Go on, what is a cult? If you don't know what a cult is, don't accuse somebody of being it. Amen.
You get all worried about what they say, and you know what that'll do? That'll cause you not to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. It'll rob you of joy. It'll rob you of strength. It'll rob you of the power of God. It'll put you in a place where you wind up coming under to the world and becoming one of them, and you're not ready to see Him when He comes back to get you because you weren't doing your job in the day and age you lived in. You say, preacher, what if it gets bad? What if they do start persecuting us? Well, don't you think maybe the Lord had you wired for such a time as this? Maybe you were born in the day. I mean, we talk about the good old days, but you know me, I got a little bit of a fighter in me. It's just the way I was raised. I mean, I love being a pastor, and I got four daughters, and I really don't think I'm a tough guy. I joke about small man syndrome, but I really don't have it. I got nothing to prove to you. Amen. I really don't. I have nothing to prove. Amen. I really don't. Honestly, I don't. What? Really? I'm good. But, you know, there's a little bit of that in me. I kind of like it. It's been a while. We were talking recently. It's been a while since somebody's walked into one of our church services and caused a fuss. You know, that used to happen all the time. You know, nowadays it's like, wow, it's so nice. And it looks so nice. And the preachers all come and say, oh, it looks so nice in here. I've had older preachers that come and visit and say, brother, this is great. I mean, you guys got some class. And what a nice church. And so, you know, decently in order, all that stuff. And praise the Lord for it. But you realize how many times people have come in and tried to disrupt me from the pew and disrupt the church service? You know, something inside of me just goes home fired up, man. It's like, yeah, right on this morning. Amen. When they're all, oh, that was a blessing, brother. I'm like, really, Lord, how come I didn't do my job? Because your flesh doesn't like it, does it? And this world does hate Jesus Christ, don't they? And you and I need to get a little grit. I'm trying to tell you, you need to get some guts. I'm trying to tell you, we need to learn to stand up for Jesus Christ against a world that hates Him. But please, in God's name, listen to me. Do it with some class. I don't want to be that church, you know, oh, that little white building over there. Yeah, oh, yeah, those people are crazy. Don't go there. They'll beat you up. You're not a Christian. If you bring an NIV in, they're going to jump all over you. Let's have some class. Let's represent Jesus Christ the way we're supposed to. But let's do it with some boldness. Amen. And be willing to suffer. The second thing. Standing up for Jesus Christ against the devil will cause you to suffer. Look at verse 33. He turned and looked upon his disciples. He rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Do you realize, my friends, that your adversary, the devil, hates the Lord Jesus Christ? And he hates those who represent him. Jesus turned around to Peter, his disciple. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, this is the thing. If you look at the context, was Peter having kind of like an evil heart towards the Lord Jesus Christ? Of course not. He loved him. And Jesus just got done saying, hey, Peter, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to suffer. You know what's going to happen? These people that hate me and that hate my name and hate my word and hate what I stand for because they love their sin and they want to protect their sin. And they don't want to be saved, Peter. They don't want to be clean from their sin, Peter. They don't want to be freed from their sin. They're just willing to just go with it. And these people that hate me, you know what I'm going to let them do? I'm going to let them turn on me. I'm going to let them beat me. I'm going to let them pluck out my beard and put a crown of thorns on my head. I'm going to let them nail my hands and my feet to the cross. I'm going to let them pierce my side. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to be buried. And on the third day, Peter, on the third day, I'm going to rise again. You realize Jesus Christ had it all premeditated? Nobody killed him. What did he say? No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. You know why Jesus Christ couldn't have possibly died? He'd never sinned. What's the wages of sin? Had Christ ever sinned? So nobody could kill him. Nothing. Cancer couldn't get him. A bullet couldn't get him. A knife couldn't get him. A nail couldn't get him. A scourging couldn't get him. Do you realize how many men would die from the scourgings? The way that those Roman soldiers would scourge somebody, they'd rip their guts out. I'm not trying to be gross, it's just the facts. Most men would have bled out and died during the scourging. How did Christ not die from the whipping? He hadn't become sin yet. That happened on the cross. A cross is a curse. It's not something you kneel and pray to and cross yourself. It's a curse. He hadn't become sin. Hey, Peter, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to die. I'm going to come back up the third day. Peter, in his love for Jesus, turned around and said, oh, no, you're not. Peter had already told him, I'll die for you. He loved him. You know what happened that fast? That man in his flesh became a tool of the devil. By the way, Christians, I'm really tired of all this, like, you know, making excuse for our sin. Well, that's not right or wrong. You know, I mean, I can do this. I can enjoy this. The Bible never says thou shalt not. You ever realize how many things are not in the Bible, thou shalt not? Let me ask you a question. Would it be right for me to go home and for no apparent reason, excuse me for a minute. For some of you, that's your first time here, you're going to think I'm a complete crazy man, but this is it. I mean, I had this ready before you showed up, so... If I went home today and said, you know what, I don't like my dog anymore. I'm just going to slowly but surely starve him to death. And the Bible never says, thou shalt not, I'm not going to do it. Don't give me that look. This is an illustration. Some of you are like, oh! And, you know, it costs too much to feed him, but I don't have the heart to kill him. So I'm just going to starve him to death. The Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not starve thy dog, does it? I'm tired because I'm hearing more and more of this stuff. That's where I'm going with it. Well, where does the Bible say thou shalt not smoke crack? It doesn't. So go smoke it, genius. Some things God doesn't have to say thou shalt not because your conscience knows what's right and what's wrong, period, the end. And, oh, it's okay. I can justify this little sin and I can play with this thing because it's just the flesh. Yeah, well, the flesh can go that fast from even having a good motive to being possessed and used of the devil. Jesus Christ did not say, hey, Satan, hey, Peter, what you said was sort of satanic. What you said could have the wrong spirit about it. He turned around to Peter and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He addressed Satan in Peter. Oops. A Christian can't be possessed. I know that makes you feel real good. As a born-again Christian, because that thought just freaks us out, right? Well, there's a lot of Bible study we got to do before we can make such assumptions. You ever heard of the circumcision of the Spirit? When I got saved, it's a different subject. But here, listen. The point is this. You can be used of the devil that fast without realizing it. Why does the Bible tell you to put a guard at the door of your mouth? He turns around and he rebukes Peter just like that. Christian, if you're going to suffer, you're going to resist the devil. And that ain't fun because he hates the Lord Jesus Christ and he hates what the Lord wants to do in and through and with your life. He hates it. He don't want to see that marriage strong. He doesn't want to see those kids growing up and serving Jesus Christ. He don't want to see you becoming a soul winner and bringing people to church with you. He don't want to see this building packed. He don't want to see us having to work on somewhere else to meet because too many people are getting saved. He doesn't want to see my schedule busy meeting with some of you, trying to disciple you and teach you the Bible and help you through your problem. He don't want to see it. He hates the Lord. You want to suffer? Learn to stand up against him. Understand the difference between what God's doing and what the devil's doing, what the spirit of God is and what the spirit of Antichrist is. And too many Christians nowadays don't have the discernment that fill a thimble, man. They can't figure it out. They don't even realize when they're being used of the devil. Here this man is walking with the Lord, loving the Lord with a good motive, and Satan moves in. You know what the motive there is, though? Look at that thing. He says in verse 33, thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. In context of verse 31, when Peter starts rebuking him, the whole context is, Lord, I don't want to see you rejected. You see that? He said, I'm going to be rejected. Now, wait a second. Does that sound like modern-day Christianity? You know what I'm getting at, don't you? You know, this milk-toasty gospel. This super watered-down church. This preaching that doesn't ruffle any feathers and is really careful about what everybody's thinking of me. I promise you, I'm not going to spend any time tonight laying in bed wondering what you thought of me. With God's help. This milk-toasty, you know, what if they get mad and leave? That's the devil. That ain't God. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And of love. I can be a Bible believer that preaches straight and still love people. And of a sound mind. You know, the devil comes in there and he starts saying, don't be rejected. Don't be offensive. That's hate speech. You see what spirit has taken over our nation? That's hate speech. To say Jesus is the only way, that exclusive gospel. That's what this guy's exploding about on the Facebook page. That exclusive gospel, you Kool-Aid drinkers, you uneducated idiots. Hey, listen, the problem is not whether or not we lack education. Actually, the person speaking that probably has less education than some of the people he was speaking to. It's not a matter of education. It's a matter of hating the reproach of the gospel. It's a matter of hating the fact that there's rejection that comes when you take a stand for Jesus Christ, when you take a stand for the Word of God, when you say, this is what we believe, this is where we stand, and if people don't like that, that's okay, that's their prerogative, but I'm not changing to please people. Amen. That's a bad spirit. You know, brother, so-and-so was offended. Well, if I did something to offend him, please let me know and I'll get it right. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. But if our position or the truth or the preaching offends people, so be it. Rejection's part of suffering. We don't like that, though, do we? It's hard to find people nowadays who can break off fellowships, break off associations, and be associated with something that's a little more extreme like we would be considered. Disregarding what other people are going to think, because that's where God speaks to their heart, where they get Bible, where they're growing spiritually. You see, that other spirit pulls people into churches and keeps them there for years. Don't be a reproach. Don't be rejected. It's a bad spirit. But you'll suffer if you stand up against it. Satan likes to come in there and say, yea, hath God said. Look at verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Of me and what? My words. You know what's funny? You know what? There's not a person in this room. I mean, most of you, I hope, wouldn't you know, watch those cheap, nasty, read those cheap, nasty romance novels, you know, you see at the store all the time. But there's not a person in this room. Most of you wouldn't, right? Help me out. Encourage me a little this morning, please. All right. So that's settled. And most of you wouldn't think twice about walking into a public place carrying one of those, right? Nobody would be looking at you like, look at that. Right? Oh, what do you guys watch? You know, I don't read none of those mechanic magazines or sports stuff with sports or whatever you guys like. I don't, whatever, stuff all bores me. But anyways, you wouldn't think anything of walking into a public place. But you know, most of us find a purse to stuff the Bible in. Briefcase. Hide it behind the lunchbox. Why don't you just bust that Bible out and walk into the break room, fellas? Get a nice big heavy one. Walk into the break room and be like, I'm going to eat my lunch. Just take your Bible and just plop it down there on the table. Well, praise the Lord. I wonder what he's got for me today. Yeah, man, this is good stuff. Look at that. You know why? Let's be honest now. I'm not harping on you. I'm just trying to just like, you know, open up our eyes a little bit and do a little gut check. The honest truth, a little bit ashamed of his words, aren't we?
I wonder what they're thinking.
Not much. Not being mean. You know, I read this week, this is really good. When you're 20, you know, you care about what everybody thinks of you. When you're 40, you grow up a little bit. You're a little more mature, you know. My preacher always said, a man don't know nothing until he's 40, because he happened to be 42 or 43 or something. But when you're 40, you don't care what anybody thinks. You grow up a little bit, right? When you're 60, you finally realize nobody was ever thinking about you anyhow. Amen. Ain't that good? But you know what the devil will do? He'll get in your head and everybody thinks you're weird. And you'll start being ashamed of who you are and what you are as a Bible-believing Christian. That's nothing to be ashamed of. You used to brag about how much you could drink, didn't you? You used to brag about how much you could smoke. You used to brag about how many women you could conquer. How much money you make. How smart you are. Brag about all kinds of things that is going to be lying in a casket in just a few short years, rotting with worms eating your eyeballs. That's what you and I are. That's it. Big deal. Big deal. gain the whole world, become the president of the United States, you'll rot like the rest of us. A little nicer casket you'll be in, that's about all. What are we so worried about, folks? I think we let a wrong spirit get in our heads. You know what happens when a man becomes full of the Holy Spirit? He's filled with the Spirit. He walks like he's filled. He talks like he's filled. He acts like he's filled. He gets some boldness if you read the book of Acts. When they got filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they got boldness, man, and they just proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what happened when God's people were willing to suffer a little bit? Not only do you find them rejoicing throughout that book, but they turn the world upside down. Ain't that something? The last thing, don't say amen too loud, the last thing. You want to suffer a little bit? This one's the toughest one. You're going to have to stand up for Jesus against yourself. I hate to admit that. I hate to admit that in my flesh, in who and what I am, I don't care to stand up for Jesus Christ. My flesh doesn't care to be like Jesus Christ. My flesh wants its recognition, its power, its lusts fulfilled. That's all that this, what you're looking at, wants. Oh, did you hear what he said? Yeah, you're the same way. Oh, no, I'm more spiritual than that. And you're about that far from falling. That flesh you're in, don't you ever let it kid you. Don't you ever let your flesh kid you. I'll never do that again. Hogwash. Your flesh is capable of everything you used to do and more. You have to stand up for Jesus Christ against yourself. Verse number 31. Why? Because he says the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. You know why? Because it didn't make any sense. You ever have things that God says he wants done or he's going to do or calls on you to do or things that happen to you that don't make sense to you? Right? Lord, I'm trying here. What are you doing to me? You ever been there? You know what? It doesn't always make sense. So you have to stand up for Jesus even when you don't understand. That's standing up for Jesus against yourself. There are times I have not understood what God was doing or why and been so frustrated and angry and miserable. But I have to say, he's right and I'm wrong. I don't get this. I don't deserve this. I don't know why. It's okay. Stand up for Jesus against yourself. Because he's always right. God's will won't always make sense to you. Peter takes him in verse number 32 and rebukes him. Don't you ever do that. Who do you think you are? But you know what we do? You do it and I do it. I just don't know why the Lord would let this. Who are you to rebuke the Lord? He understands what he's doing. And you and I don't get the whole picture. I mean, if we don't understand the gravity and the level and the power and the beauty of the rewards he's going to give us, how in the world can we understand what he's actually doing in this life? You think you get it? I don't get it. I'll tell you this much. There have been many times when I haven't understood. I've been very frustrated. And later on down the road, if I stay with the Lord, I look back and I say, wow, that's what the Lord was doing. Now, you've heard me say it before. God takes a man. That's a call to preach or whatever he's going to do in your life. Then he breaks a man. Then he makes a man. You see, the breaking we never understand. But it's once God's done breaking you, he can make you into something he wants you to be. So don't reject the breaking. Stand up for Jesus against yourself. He'll do something great. Notice something else. Verse number 34, you've got to stand up for Jesus when your will is greater than your love for him. When he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know what? You're going to have to stand up for Jesus when you realize what you want for your life is greater and stronger than your love for Jesus Christ. Why did he say deny himself if that person hadn't already denied themselves? You know what you love? You love you. God has such a great sense of humor. He tells men to love their wife at a level that's just not possible for us to love at. right? As Christ loved the church, right? I mean, that's just something we'll work our whole life becoming. And then he says he's to love her as his own self. Do you get it? That's funny. That's a joke. It's truly funny. It really is. When God says love your wife at a level that's beyond your own ability, he says love her like you love you. That kind of hurts. I guess it's not that funny, is it? Because that does hurt. We love ourselves, don't we? So you want to follow Jesus Christ? You want to suffer for Jesus Christ? Deny you. That's not easy to do. Look at the next thing. You'll have to stand up for Jesus Christ against yourself when he calls on you to pay a price that you don't want to pay. He says, and take up his cross at the end of verse 34. And follow me. And take up his cross. All right, now you just crossed the line, Lord. It's one thing to deny myself. It's another thing to suffer. To take up my cross. To follow you. For some of you, you know what that's going to mean? That's going to mean breaking off some of your friends. Because you cannot, two can't walk together except they be agreed. You're going to have to break off some of your friends. I'm just trying to be an influence on them. Nope, they're going to pull you down. You won't pull them up. Trust me, you won't pull them up. They'll pull you down. Evil communications corrupt good manners, not vice versa. So some of you are going to have to break off your friends. You cannot serve God and mammon. Some of you are going to have to just detach yourself from your love for your money. Amen. You can't serve God and mammon. Folks, you realize that there's some cross-bearing that Christians have to take. We know we don't suffer much, do we? Be honest, do we? You know why? Because we're not really serving God. That hurts me too. I'm not trying to be hard on you. But that's the truth. Because if we were really serving God, we'd be suffering. And with that suffering, we'd walk in here to church and we'd hear the name of Jesus Christ lifted up in song. And we wouldn't be standing there like, I could have done a better job. I could do better. Music sure could use some help around here. Oh, man, it's getting quiet. If I'd have cleaned the church, that wouldn't be there. Yeah, you didn't clean it. Somebody else did. Thank God for them. You see, Christians, you and I, if we really were worshiping the Lord and serving the Lord, we'd come in here and we'd hear that name lifted up. You love what you pay for, don't you? You love what you suffer for, don't you? If you and I were suffering for the name of Jesus Christ, our church services would be so alive with the Spirit of God and the power of God. Lost souls would come in here and they'd be at this altar getting saved, and you and I'd be getting revived and excited and fired up, and we'd have that joy. He said, happy are ye. We'd have some joy in our hearts because we're suffering for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, we don't suffer that way. We have to be willing to deny ourselves. I counted dollars while God counted crosses. I counted gains while he counted losses. I counted my worth by the things gained in store, but he sized me up by the scars that I bore. I coveted honors and sought for degrees. He wept as he counted the hours on my knees. And I never know till one day at a grave how vain are the things we spend our life to save. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. What shall profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Will you give your heart to Jesus Christ this morning down here on this altar in a way this year that you've never done before? I'm already saved, I know, but you've probably never signed up for the suffering, have you? Lord, this year I want to suffer for your name like I never have before. I told you we're not prosperity gospel, didn't I? Say, I've never heard a preacher. That's the invitation, preacher. That's the invitation. Will you suffer like you've never suffered before? If you're not saved this morning, what is going to profit you if you gain the whole world and die and go to hell? we can show you this morning how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Stand to your feet if you would, if your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Father, we ask you to bless the invitation. I pray this morning you give your people the grace that they need to sign up for suffering, to be willing to lose everything that's important to them, that they could gain a closer walk with Jesus Christ. Lord, we know we're going to suffer. That's life. Help us not to suffer for sin. Help us not to suffer for the things of this world, but help us to be willing as a people to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, as Brother Rob sings, why don't you step out this morning?